A few years ago, the youngest child of the Gonzalez Six, my sister Felicia, took a genealogy test to see where our ancestors come from. Many people have used these types of services, such as 23andMe, MyHeritage, and Ancestry.com. There are many more out there, but this is the one that she chose. My sister is 19 years younger than I am. I'm the oldest. And out of all the siblings, she and I resemble each other the most. Because of this, I thought it might be interesting to get one done too. The rest of the siblings opted to see how ours matched first before they decided to do one or not. Now, some of you are probably mentally saying, that's giving them too much information. They'll use it against you one day. Well, let me tell you, if you have a smart device, a smart watch, a cell phone, or ever use a credit card, they know everything about you. After receiving the genealogy test, I painstakingly followed the instructions on the box so I wouldn't do anything wrong. After I did the test, I went to YouTube to see what I was to expect. After a couple of weeks, I got my results. I found out a few things about myself that I pretty much knew and some things I didn't. So I'm sure that some of you are curious about what my findings were, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I am 42% Spanish, 41% Indian or Indigenous American, that is from the Mexico region, 7% Portuguese, 3% from the Jewish peoples of Europe, 3% Basque, which is the northern part of Spain, 2% from Cameroon, Congo, and the Western Bantu peoples, which is Southwest Africa, and 2% French. My sister's findings were very similar to mine, except she had the first two flipped. When sharing my genealogy with a coworker, she yelled, "I knew you had Jew in you, because I keep the Sabbath and I won't eat pork." According to my father, my ancestors came here and settled in the Gulf of Mexico from Spain as conquerors and eventually lost all their land through poor management. It is rumored that I am descendant of a prince of Spain. And as a kid, I used to daydream how neat it would be to actually be a prince. These allergies. As I mentioned at the beginning, I am one of six. And we came into the faith in the 1970s. At that time, there were only five of us. We originally came from the Catholic faith, and this way of life was very foreign to me. Everything that we once knew was all shown to be false. This was my parents' faith, however, not mine. So I went to services, kept the holy days, and all that we were supposed to do because I was just a child. So turn with me in your books of the Bible, to the Bible, to Ruth. And we'll read about a young lady that came from a totally foreign background and came to learn the way and eventually showed many others how to keep the faith. The title of this message is In the Footsteps of Ruth. In the Footsteps of Ruth. Let's see here. I have the font very small in my Bible, so excuse me. Something about getting older, I think. There we go. We see in the first chapters of Ruth that Ruth had married into a family of Elimelech, a Jew from Bethlehem. They had moved to Moab, a town about 60 miles on foot, just around the northern part of the Dead Sea. They moved there due to a famine in the land. They were searching out a better life. So Elimelech took his wife Naomi and their two sons and settled there. While they were there, their two sons married Ruth and Orpah. It appears to me through Scripture that Ruth and Orpah even though they came from totally different backgrounds, adopted the lifestyles of their family, their husbands, by keeping the commandments, rituals, and holy days. Similarly, in my case, we as children follow the ways of our parents when we came into the faith. Were we called just because we did what we were supposed to do? Well, I'm going to say not yet. Orpah most likely did everything that Naomi did, but ultimately went back home to her family and her old ways. The first few verses of Ruth show us that after 10 years in Moab, Elimelech died, and a short while later, both sons died. So let's pick it up in Ruth 1, and we're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read through 10. So that's Ruth 1, verse 7. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each in the household of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." These two young women loved their mother-in-law Naomi so much they couldn't bear the thought of her going home alone. Naomi was in a bad place mentally. She was miserable about the loss of her husband and her two sons. She felt that her daughter-in-laws were probably young enough to marry again, and she asked them to return to their families. Let's pick it up in verse 11. "No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." In verse 16, Ruth lets Naomi know that she will follow her to the end of time. What I find interesting is, though, even though she being from Moab, a life foreign to the way, she also states she will not only follow Naomi, but she will also follow the Lord. Verse 16. "But Ruth said, 'It treat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God.'" Verse 18. "And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her." Ruth was going to follow Naomi to Bethlehem and continue the ways of God, the one true God. She had determined that the God of Naomi was to be her God. Now, we've all read the book of Ruth, and we know it pretty well. But for the remainder of this message, I'd like to do some parallels of Ruth's walk to my own walk. Perhaps you might find something here to think about when it comes to your own walk from this world to following the ways of God. As I've said before, when I came into the faith, I was just a young child. I did what was expected of me, mostly. But not for any other reason but mere compliance. When faced with explaining why I did the things that I did to my school friends, teachers, and others, I would say, "It's what my parents believe," or, "That's what my church teaches." I didn't own it. I was just there warming a seat. At that time in my life, I would never have said, "This is what I believe." However, back in 1995, when our former organization decided they no longer wanted to do the things the scripture showed us to do, but follow the mainstream churches, I too dutifully did the same thing as my church for a few months. I did what I was told and I did what I was expected to do, but it was not my core beliefs. Orpah, I believe, fell in that mindset. When given the opportunity to return to her old ways, she did. Ruth, on the other hand, saw what was real and clung to it. As I grew up into the church, many of my friends became baptized in their later teens and early 20s, but I didn't. When I got to my later 20s, 28 to be exact, when someone asked why I did the things that I did, I heard myself say, I believe. Why I feel I should do these things, instead of what I used to say. It was then when I realized it was time for me to take the next step in baptism, my walk with God. I had come to the realization that I no longer wanted what the world offered. I no longer was bothered by what others said about me, by teasing me not to be eating pork or doing things on the Sabbath or anything other than what God has told us to do. His approval was more important to me, not the approval of the world. Perhaps you've been a baptized member for a number of decades, and it may be hard for you to remember when you came into the faith. Maybe you grew up in the faith and wonder when your first love will ever come. When one finds their first love, that is the coming into the faith, your conversion can sometimes be dramatic or come with fireworks. Being a child that grew up in this faith, it wasn't until I realized this was my faith that I realized I was experiencing my first love. I can't help but wonder, when Ruth was faced with the decision of going back to her family or following Naomi, did she come to this realization? As time goes on, there will be things that happen along the way that are going to test our faith and resolve. But we need to keep doing the right thing. Our genealogy does not dictate who we are or what we will be. The Spirit of God in us does. Remember how I used to daydream that I was going to be a prince someday? Well, it turns out after my conversion that I am from the family of God. And that's exciting. Ruth's love for her husband and mother-in-law did not save her. Her actions, her character, and ultimately her faith in God did. Ruth showed us that even in hard times, we must keep moving forward and not give up. She showed us that respect for God's laws and statutes means more than what anybody else says or thinks. Ruth's faith shows us hard work and caring for those that can't take care of themselves is expected of us. The spring holy days are just around the corner. May we all continue in the footsteps of Ruth.